Welcome to Gin and a Mug podcast, where myself, Sally Rose, and my good friend Amanda Jane catch up each week for a debrief. There will be some tough subject and some swearing, you've been warned, but there'll also be a lot of laughs, oh, and a lot of gin. We hope you enjoy.
Oh, there we go. Now we've got it working. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Sally.
You know, I always swore, Sally, that I would never do a podcast, and yet here I am.
Amanda's lost it.
I have. You know, weeping woman, give her a ticket. Kick her in the guts.
Let's get out. And can't I just sit in my car and cry?
It's a bit of a niche. bit of a bespoke boutique area.
It may just be for us. I swear I have PTSD, and I'm not joking, from dealing with the NDIS.
The politically correct, comfortable phrase.
I believe, Sally, it's called a life-limiting condition.
Mm. Hoping for sponsorship?
Yeah, just any local gin. If you want us to get drunk on your gin, we will.
We're laughing, but that's what we do when we feel like shit. So,
So cheers, Sally.
Cheers. Hey, Amanda.
Hello, Miss Sally. How are you?
I'm really well today. How are you?
I'm great. I was just actually, my head instantly went down to all the cliched songs that would have gone with your name.
Oh.
Lay down, Sally.
Yeah.
Which is so much better than what I've got.
Oh, it's yours.
Boston. Amanda, I'm going to take you by surprise. Look into your eyes. Amanda.
When I worked in bars as a teenage, you know, young teenager, I got Lay Down Sally, long, tall. She's got legs. Yeah. I still wear short skirts.
Yeah.
And Mustang Sally over and over again on the jukebox back in the day.
I'm so sorry.
I know.
But you know what? That segues nicely into today's inspiration.
Yes.
Which is gin.
Oh, gin. Yes. Let's start. We're starting with gin because we're recording later in the day.
Here we go. Cheers, mate. So today's little brew is called, Gift. Thank you.
Thank you very
Lorraine
much.
Lorraine Van Diemen's Gin. Uniquely Tasmanian. It comes from ooze.
Oh, ooze, yeah. So the person who gave it to us is a district nurse. And they work
it tastes
up
like licorice.
Ooze way.
Mm. It's got a licorice taste to it. That's
and
really
I think
interesting.
All the botanicals are from the farm that makes it. Is that right? There's a farm?
Yeah. Yeah. Hang on. Let me look at the label. Right, here we go. I'll go into my nice reading voice.
Yes, do it.
Okay. Inspiration for Van Diemen's gin has been taken from the surrounds of the distillery using botanicals grown within Lorraine's own orchard, including strawberries and almonds, as well as lime flowers that blossom as the distillery transitions from the harsh winter and blooms into spring. It talks about basically the herbals, but to me, that's aniseed.
Mm, it's a quite a strong taste. Like it's not a juniper.
No, it's an aniseed.
I talk for a living.
I speak and say things. But you know what? I need to have a think about what to pair that with. Because when we taste these, we just put it on ice so we can actually taste it.
The gin, yeah. I reckon like some orange would go really well with that.
Oh, I think it might actually.
And that might be one I would put tonic with rather than just straight soda.
On. Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about stuff.
And things.
Well, since I've seen you, we haven't had time. We haven't had much time to catch up lately. So Will had her peg changed to a button.
Okay, so let's peel that back. So during one of the earlier podcasts, Will had the G-tube put in.
Yeah.
Which so the tube that goes directly from the stomach into the outside world.
Yeah. And
how's that gone?
Something cool. It's gone quite well. Mm. She's occasionally some days like she's been in terrible pain.
Mm.
And when I was explained to me why, it makes sense. So the reasons why it can be because it gets infected, of course.
Mm.
But they – so it goes through your stomach – through your abdominal wall into your stomach, and then they blow up a balloon in there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't fall out.
Yeah.
And that sort of holds it together. And I think, do they stitch the stomach to the wall, or is it just the balloon holding it there? I think they actually stitch the stomach.
I think they'd have to stitch it.
Yeah,
do you know? Shamefully, I don't know.
No,
but
I'm
I would
pretty
imagine
sure they do.
If it wasn't stitched, that acid content could leak into the abdominal cavity.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, they do. I was quite sure of that. And so some days when it just randomly hurts, they explained it is normally all your organs sort of float around.
Oh, move around, yeah.
And so if, like, your bowel gets gas in it or other organs are floating around, your stomach can't because it's still. So sometimes things are just banging into it and because it's still quite fresh,
like
it
when would you, hurt. Like when you're pregnant and the babies push everything out to the side in your body and so suddenly you get a gurgly stomach on your flank instead of in the front.
So that made a lot of sense in my mind. And it has gone quite well. It keeps freaking them out, though. Like, they don't like to shower and look at it. And
even though technically it's a simple thing,
it's a tube coming out of your
stomach. It's a body modification that doesn't involve something fun. It's not like a septum piercing or a, you know.
Which Willow has and it looks really cool.
She does actually. Oh, sorry, they look fantastic. But honestly, it's a body modification that's not by choice. It's not like a tattoo or a piercing. It's, you know, something done to your body. But also on top of that, you know, we keep sort of, I forget the autism's and the anxiety,
from all her other issues, has autism and a severe anxiety disorder, which is really well medicated.
Yeah.
But go drugs. They're great sometimes.
Love drugs.
If they're the right ones, they are good. So that has to be in for like 4 to 5 weeks, and then we change it to a button, which is really little. So this whole time, the peg nurse is great. He's awesome. And he explained, you're just going to come in and we'll just take the air out of the balloon, pull it out, put a little measuring device in, and then put the button in, put a bit more air in the balloon, and it's done. It's a very quick procedure. And I'm like, so just back up a bit there, mate. So she's awake? Oh, we'll spray a little bit of local anesthetic. And I'm like, so she's awake?
When you're pulling something out of her body like alien?
Because when we had the original peg in, we'd been in hospital and it was, you know, a big operation, in high dependency for a couple of days. Like, that was such a big deal.
Mm.
And they weren't very well at the time either. I couldn't quite get my head around the fact that this was so simple.
Mm.
And I really asked him a lot of questions so I could explain it to Willow, because Willow was also like, I'm going to be awake. And you could see it just was killing her little brain just trying to wrap their head around it.
As any kid would, as any adult.
I know. Well, I couldn't understand it either. And then they explained it like an earring. So the hole now through to the stomach is healed like just putting an earring in. It's sort of healed. I went, that's a great explanation. And the one thing we did to help calm Will down was all the nasal gastric changes. Like, they were horrible for Willow. They were so horrible. Mm. And you have to be an active part of that.
You have to swallow. You have to make it happen. So when an NG tube is inserted, if you don't swallow, it's not diabolically bad. It kind of is, but what can happen is a few things. One is that it goes in the mouth, so it curls around and ends up in the mouth.
Oh, we've had that happen, and it comes out the mouth. That's so freaky. It can curl up there,
but it also can go accidentally into the lungs, which is why it's really important to do the pH testing every time, and sometimes an X-ray when you use an NG tube, because otherwise you could, you know, pump fluid into someone's lungs. So with the swallowing, as the tube's being pushed in, if the person having the tube, and it is pushed in, sorry, it's not, we
it's
can't,
not pleasant.
Let's not dance around this. It's not a gentle threading. Mm. You are pushing the tube in through the nose, a certain degree of speed and pressure, and the person swallows and that helps it go into the esophagus. Yeah.
So it's the most water I've ever seen Willow drink at one stage is getting nasal gastrics. She'll drink a whole big, like the cups they give you in hospital with the straw, and she'll just swallow. But it takes them so long to work themselves up to it because they know it's coming, because they've had it done before. They know how horrible it is.
Whereas this time,
that's what I focused on, is you don't have to do anything.
Just watch your iPad, dude.
Yeah, watch your iPad. You don't have to look. You just think. And I was seriously freaking out myself. And it's so hard as the mum because even if you just go, oh, it's okay, I have to feel it's okay. Like, because my energy is what will I relies on.
Correct, yeah.
And I have to just, it was so hard to get into that mindset. It was really, really hard. And we actually took a support worker with us for once. Never done that before.
And normally did just Mal the evil support dog.
And Mal the support dog came as well. And that's what I thought. I thought it was going to take ages.
Where is Mal?
She's there on the couch.
Shivering.
Full of hate for me.
I thought it would take ages. So I thought, oh, well, Loz can hold Mal while we're in having the procedure done. And it was so easy. Oh, my gosh, now I've seen it done. It's like, oh, it's not such a big deal. Because I was imagining they'd pull it out and blood would pour everywhere and stomach contents would just shoot up at the – you get this whole, I don't know what happens. And it was. It was just pulled it out really simply.
Deflated the balloon first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, didn't rip it out with the balloon. Deflated the balloon. Put a measuring thing to see how far it was, like a dipstick almost.
Yeah.
And then put the other one in. Boom, done. So now the difference with the button is there's not a tube dangling off Willow all the time.
Ah, great. So that can be removed.
And I only attach that. So it's another thing that I have to think of. So now you put the tube on and then he goes, think of it like a piece of cutlery. So then you wash it afterwards and then you keep it in the fridge.
Yeah.
I don't know why you keep it in the fridge. Can you
bacteria.
Tell me? Bacteria, okay. Yeah. And you keep it in the fridge. But then you've got to remember to flush warm water through it before, otherwise fridge water goes into the stomach.
Also, so when you it's the same thing when you I'm not going to get technical, but basically you want to decrease the amount of bacterial growth because most bacteria have an optimal temperature that they'll grow at. You also want to maintain the life of the actual tube itself.
Oh, the plastic.
Yeah, so some of them are made of latex, I thought. I might be wrong on that.
I don't think anything's made of latex anymore, is it?
Probably not, but it's about maintaining the life of it as well. So if they get too hot or too cold, then they don't last as long. But,
okay.
But if you also, but you need to flush and clean it because just like when you're eating, okay, here's an easy analogy for you. So imagine you've got a glass that you've washed and you've left it somewhere and it's still a bit damp and it's been sitting on like a towel or something. And then you tipped it up and took a drink and you can taste the dishwater. Even though you've cleaned it, technically you can taste the dishwater and stuff. Will it kill you? Probably not. But there's probably some bacteria in it. It's just not clean. So you give it a flush to clean it first.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing. I've been just flushing it with normal water.
Yeah, that's
all. It was funny because I'm having this big thing. Do I put soap in it? Do I wash it with dishwashing liquid? Do I know? And then I just said to it like a piece of cutlery. Of course it would. Put a bit of things through it, flush it.
Yeah. Rinse the soap off,
All these things seem so hard. And that's what I mean. Until you know, it feels so dramatic. So I had down at school, so if the peg came out, the original one, to call an ambulance. And now I feel so dumb because it's like, oh, I went in after we had the button change because I assumed she'd be off school all this week as well because it was going to be such a big deal. I know, back the next day, fine. And I went, oh, you know how I said call an ambulance? Just scratch that, call me, it's fine. She went, oh, really? I went, yeah, no, blood's not going to fly everywhere, it's fine. But the best thing about the button compared to the peg is we had at school and I don't know if any woman out there has ever got their period at school and how embarrassing that is.
Oh, yeah.
And things, and even little kids who have pooed themselves or something, you know, you never forget those moments.
No.
Ever. Well, Willow's peg blew out. So if you drink a gassy drink or something, the end comes off
and then
all your stomach contents just comes out under pressure.
Oh, God.
And that was all over her clothes and all over her top.
Oh.
And
they
never complain. They were horrified. So they went to get some spare clothes. The only pants they could find would have fit me. my child has dwarfism. I'm a giant. And so we had to put them on it, though, and then I went to
Sally is literally twice the height of Wilson.
Yeah.
Literally.
I'm 5'10 and a half. Yeah, so we now have a spare pair of clothes at school, but this one's got a valve, so that's not going to happen.
No.
so they can drink frizzy drink again.
And also if the top rides up or there's anything like that happens, you don't have to worry about some tube falling out. So there's none of that social embarrassment either.
Yeah, and that's a big thing in high school. Speaking of high school, so I talked to school about, because I really thought Will wouldn't be at school this week, and about getting work sent home. Willow is a nerd. Willow loves work. Willow is quite age appropriate for a lot of subjects, but then with speech and having to have someone scribe and all that, it takes a lot more effort to get that work out, but they can do that. About using a time when they're not there to get work online and everything for Will. And because she's funded for 5 days a week, full-time aid. So I just asked, I said, like, when they're not there, can you use a little bit of that to gather some schoolwork? And then that led into, and they were cool with that, like they completely got that. That led into, there's a new pilot program around Australia.
I'm so excited about this. This is so cool.
I thought they were joking, but they're not. So I've got a running joke with Will too. I'm just trying to make it cool about getting all these new accessories, and I'm slowly turning her into a cyborg.
Which actually I think Will would like.
Yeah. So it was started by, I think, the Cancer Council, Cancer Australia, where it's like an iPad on an arm on wheels, and it's like a little robot iPad, basically.
It's just so awesome.
And you can, so you can join in with your classes, you can look around, you can you can talk, your friends can talk to you, you can travel around the school and all that. So if there's a day where they're just too tired to get out of bed, they can still go to school and virtually. And this is, there's a pilot program and there's two in Tasmania, and we're thinking Willow might be one of the ones
that would be perfect
to, because they're cognitive enough to be able to use it.
Yeah.
That, you know, theoretically they go to school 3 days a week, but the last few months it's been one. And they want to learn. I'm so excited.
That just sounds amazing.
It's go COVID, because I reckon so much of this stuff has been thankful, you know.
Think about of telehealth COVID. And you think about, like, I think about the aspects of being able to actually still see a specialist in Melbourne without all of the trauma of going to Melbourne, because when you take your kid for a specialist visit to out of state here, so Tasmania Island, have to go to the big island, there's a whole process involved in, like, transporting your kid to Melbourne for a day appointment.
And they make you fly there and back in one day.
In one day.
And it's, because the insight
level, the insight level there is really high about what that involves.
Oh, I remember we were meant to for something and I just said, we can't do it in one day. It would be traumatic. Oh, no, it's only a half-hour appointment, so you get there. And the process is like, yeah, theoretically, I could do it.
So you know what? I'll give you an example, because we ended up having to do this one day. So to go and see a specialist neurologist in Melbourne. So you've already got a kid who, you know, isn't fond of being touched and moved around. So and violent. So I then have to get the plane. The plane gets booked. So you get to the airport. There's a whole conversation you have to have with security. Perfect music. there's a whole conversation and a whole thing that happens with security. Then you need to use the elevator to get up into the plane, and then I've got to get her into the seat, and that involves me assisting her to do that. So I get punched out and she's stressed out. But once we're sitting down, it's all good. But I have to physically do this whole pretzel thing to keep her in a seat for that hour-long trip, because otherwise she's, like, kicking the seat in front of her.
And by then you're already exhausted, because you had to get there, you've had to do all the stuff and the check-in.
We're still not even off the plane. So then we get off the plane, and then you've got to get from Tullamarine – oh, it's not Tullamarine anymore, whatever it is – to the Royal Children's, and then get to the appointment. All right, so before you've even gotten to that – it's only a half-hour appointment, you've already done a day's work – And then with all of that transition, which is hard enough for neurotypical kids, so take a kid who's not neurotypical.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of changes.
And works on circular time, not linear time. So the same thing needs to happen every day for their world to be.
Oh, I like that, circular time.
Yeah, circular time as opposed to linear.
Yeah.
Haven't we talked about this before?
No.
Oh, this is why routine is so crucial to children with special needs.
Yeah, I know. I get the routine thing, but I hadn't heard of it referred to as circular time. It makes
perfect sense.
Because
the same thing happens each day, whereas linear time is something for people who are able to comprehend time as a progression and change, whereas circular time is more reassuring for people with intellectual disability or people who live with any kind of anxiety or any of the chisms. Dementia, create a routine, a pattern, so similar things happen each day at similar times, and that provides reassurance and improves behaviour.
Wow.
So then repeat that whole morning process backwards.
Yeah.
And then that's that day. Yeah, technically it was, we got there and back for a half day.
Yeah, but the recovery, next week.
You spend a week recovering from it.
Yeah.
The child does and you do.
Mm.
So robots, bloody robots floating around the school.
So that's cool. Awesome. So we're going to trial that. And then we've also got a trial of wheelchair coming up. So her new fancy electric wheelchair. So, and the thing we'll keep saying. Now, I'm just going to throw in here quickly. If you keep hearing us change between them, they, Will, Wilson. You know, kids with disabilities also have sexuality and gender, and Willow now identifies as non-binary. I think we mentioned that.
Yeah, we talked about that because there's some discussion in the Turners community that if you don't have a complete X chromosome, does that mean then that you are missing the Y chromosome or the other X, and some of the discussion around that.
Yeah, I think we did discuss that.
We did.
So
yeah.
Their nickname's Willow Wilson anyway.
Has been for years. Yeah.
Has been. So that's what they want to be referred to. But I'm still getting there. So I will flick between all of them. But I'm trying because I support my child.
Well, that's something that they can control, isn't it?
They have choice and control and autonomy.
There's so little they have in
control. All the healthcare professionals have been so supportive. And every time we come in, they put their pronouns up on the hospital behind the bed thing. Mm. Hospital behind the bed thing. I am kicking goals today. so the new wheelchair. So it's this really cool, it's like 52-centimeter bottom.
Oh, so it's a really small base.
And it's got like a really big wheel in the middle.
Yeah.
And then four little wheels.
So it turns in a small space.
It can turn in a small space and it lifts up.
Just got to watch out for those on curbs because they can bottom out. But in terms of an indoor space, they're the bee's knees.
Yeah. So we're going to do the trial at school.
Yeah.
And Will is so excited because I keep going, so I don't have to have an aide follow me everywhere anymore. And I'm like, no, because they want to be independent.
And I think you were saying it's one of the ones that's got the...
Yeah, that's it. Yep. That's good for podcasts. Yeah.
The viewing listeners.
So it lifts up. So if they want to
be
buy something...
with peers.
Yeah, if I want to talk to someone or get served in a shop or any of that stuff, it actually lifts up, which is just... And it feels a little over the top, but then no. I was like, no, it's not. It's and one of the best features from my point of view is it also tilts back. You can tilt it so when they're asleep.
Oh, so it's tilted space. Lovely.
You can tilt them back. So because the day, which I'm still slightly traumatized about, that Will had their seizure.
Yes.
Trying to hold her in the wheelchair whilst I was going into emergency was really difficult.
Yeah, whereas if they were tilted, you'd be able to.
Well, even if they're just sleeping, you know, we can still finish our day out rather than, you know, they can sleep while we get from A to B and then hopefully maybe wake up. But if not, we still went there. So there's a few good things coming. So that's NDIS has come through for that. The robots, the education system. And
that's just amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's just brilliant.
I think it is good. I'm just looking at our list. I mean, what have we got? We've got 5 minutes.
You can edit that out, aren't you?
Yeah.
Good.
I don't have to edit that out. I don't know.
the robot thing's awesome, but like how do you negotiate doorways and exits and entrances and stuff?
I reckon, well, they could still have their aid with them, I suppose.
Yeah,
good. And to go up, because they have to go upstairs. That's what someone said, you won't be able to go upstairs. And I'm like, well, Will can't go upstairs either. She has to go in the lift. So the robot would go in the lift. So I suppose aides would take them around.
So how do you manage? Like what normally happens there? Because this is an older school.
Yeah, the school is quite old, and that's why we're doing the wheelchair assessment at the school.
Yeah.
To see if it will get around. Because there's some parts even where they've decided, which I may have pointed out at the start of the year, they can't push them up to music block and stuff anymore, but they think this chair will be able to get up there.
I mean, that's why Maddie's not going to that high school.
Yeah.
Because the environment is just so diabolically not manageable because of the behavioural issues. But, like, so how do you – what do you do at the moment with doors and wheelchairs? Like,
oh, God. Okay. So in the morning, I now back down this hill because the learning centre there's a doorway to the bottom floor and the learning centre's just there. There's a lot of classrooms there. So a lot of the kids walk down this hill off the buses.
And what's the – so it, for a gradient for a wheelchair, ideally it needs to be 1 in 14, and I reckon this one would be about probably, what, 1 in 5?
Oh,
really steep.
It's really steep. So the van, when I take off to go back up,
I have to rev a bit.
Sweet. But all the kids come down. So in the morning, they all just come down because the bus is let off, and there's these millions of them. And
sea of teen spirit.
Teenagers don't seem to care. And Willow's in her walker, and I'm pushing her wheelchair, or depending on the morning, they're in their wheelchair. And I'm pushing that and carrying the walker.
Nice.
and the school bag, and the dog's walking with us as well. So we go through, and there's all these kids, and I don't think it's happened once that a kid has held the door open. Yes, it has. Another kid from the learning centre, the special needs kids, they hold the door open for us because they have manners. The other kids, they even get annoyed when I'm holding the door open with my foot and they are all trying to push past us to go in, especially the older kids, like the year 10 kids. And I understand their brains haven't grown yet. But some mornings, the other morning, I just went, oh, God, you're dicks. And just kept going, you can't say that to us. And I went, yeah, I can. You're dicks. Why don't you hold the door open? No. Nah. Not going to hold the door open. And I literally pushed past us and just kept going. And I'm there and I've got a bag and a walker and I'm pushing Will in the wheelchair and I'm holding the door open with my foot. And then there's a little lip too, so I've got tilted back, get in, and I got in. And I thought, oh, God, that was really inappropriate of me.
So he's going to have to go to the principal.
Well, I went to the person who runs the learning centre and I went, Chris, I'm really sorry. I may have just called a bunch of kids dickheads. And now I'm saying it again in the learning centre. Sorry. I called them dicks. And he goes, well, I can't say it, but, you know, sometimes they are. But maybe calling students, and he was laughing, like he wasn't angry at all. I just thought I should confess before that which parent called kids.
Yes.
Yeah, calling kids the male anatomy may not be okay. And I said, I wanted to call them the female anatomy. So they lucked out. Then he laughed a lot. So
how Upper Valley PTA is your theme song today?
Yes, I think so. You know, and I'm sure it will happen again. They don't understand, you know. And is it great that they don't see the disability and the extra equipment? Maybe that's it. They're treating her just like anybody else.
Ignoring her and with disdain.
All righty. I reckon we'll leave it there today.
I think we should. And just it's a misty old cold day here in Hobart. It's my absolute favourite.
I love it. I'm not we might put some pictures up of the mountain.
I think maybe we should actually. Let's just plaster the page with local images. But the other thing that we're going to do today after we sign off is Sally's going to give me a brief in service on posting things to Facebook as Gin in a Mug as opposed to my own name.
Yes, we're going to do that.
Yeah, I'm 51 and I am actually, I came through with computers all the way through and I'm pretty good, but, you know, I think I'm willfully ignorant.
But I had teenage children to you teach
did.
Me.
You did, yeah.
So my kids indeed. Are now, my big girls are grown up, so they got to teach me these things. That's why I can pay for things with my phone. Because they taught me.
Excellent. All right. Well, look, it's been a bit of a funny old couple of weeks for us. There's lots of things happening, but nothing dramatic.
Nothing dramatic, yeah. So that's what I think.
But it's been hard to get together, and I think one of the things that I think about too. I think about lots. I think a lot. I'm alone a lot. My chickens don't talk back. But I think about like how this is such a normal. What we're just talking about this stuff like it's completely utterly normal. And then I discuss this with friends who listen who don't live this life, and they're just like, "Oh my god, how do you do this? Oh my god!" And I just think, well, you just do, and this is my life, and it's normal.
Yeah.
And you know, it has days where it sucks, but mostly it's pretty damn good.
But the average parent has day where it sucks as
correct.
Well.
It's just a different kind of suck.
It's just a different kind of suck. And that's what, you know, and that's why I think we talked in the last episode about the burden. And it's just like,
well,
yeah, no, that's my kid and that's just what we do.
Yeah, and you don't subcontract parenting out to a stranger just because you think something's a bit hard. Mm. You know, you get help.
You get help. That's
you get
different.
Help. But there's a difference between framing something as a burden and framing something as just life,
exactly.
Different life.
Yeah, it's different. It's unusual.
It's nice. It's different. That's unusual. And on the Kath and Kim note, see you, Sal.
See ya. Keep talking, guys.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Gin and a Mug. Jump onto our Facebook group and let us know what you thought. There's also the Patreon. Feel free to chuck a few bucks in there if you want to support our gin habit or if you want us to pay an editor to make this sound less shit. But most importantly, if this episode has brought up any issues for you, we've put the link in the show notes to Beyond Blue, Lifeline and Carers Australia. Make sure you keep talking. Big love to you all.